Yes, welcome along to Bunce's Boxing Podcast. I love it when there's loads of great boxing on, not only because we get to watch great boxing every single weekend, but also because it means I get to speak to Steve Bunce every week as well. You all right, Steve?
Never been better late.
Excellent. Got a few decent ones to look forward to today. We're going to round it all off, of course, top of the bill, with Amir Khan's title tilt against Saul Canelo Alvarez. Before all that, though, we've got a bit of heavyweights to look at. Derek Chisora back in the ring, which is always a good thing. We're also going to look at a couple of title fights in the UK. On that Sky bill, Buncey, we'll have a look at Crawler's fight in a second. We've also got a couple of fights earlier on in the bill. Two favourites, two super middleweight favourites, Paul Smith and Martin Murray in the ring, both 100 to 1 on shot, so there's not we're not expecting any surprises there, are we? Maybe stick them in an accumulator, but they win, yeah?
Oh, yeah, they win, yeah. I mean, they belong to that category where they have to fight to do with a contract, because with full no disrespect to either of them, I think they've had 6 world title fights between the two of them. They can only be having this fight because it's part of a contract. They cannot learn anything from this. They know what it's like to get to an arena, to get the nerves, to handle the nerves, to get your bandages on, to walk out, to fight. They know what that's like. They've done it between them about, I don't know, probably about 70 times or whatever it is. So it's not that. This is purely because of whatever deal they've got with the promoter. They have to fight X amount of time. That's all it can be. And it's, you know, we had a world title fight last month that was 1 to 80. So I suppose a non-title fight, a 1 to 100, is, by the same reasoning, fairly competitive.
Yeah.
In a bizarre way.
Yeah. Let's have a look at some of the more competitive fights on the bill then. Yeah. We'll start off with Shane Singleton, who's, I mean, he's short enough, 2 to 5 to beat Adil Anwar, who is priced up at 2 to 1. The draw is 20 to 1 in this one. The Platinum Kid, Adil Anwar, his record reads 1-22, lost 5. He's been stopped once in that run as well. He's from Leeds. This is at the MEN Arena, by the way. He's got a bit of a, you know, hit and miss record, hasn't he, Adil Anwar? It's not, you know, he loses one, wins one, loses one, wins one when he's stepped up to this kind of level. Shane Singleton, 22-1. He's been stopped once in that solitary loss himself. He's nicknamed the Pain. Interesting, Buncey, that when you look at Shane Singleton's picture on BoxRec, he looks like he's been in pain. He looks like a warrior. Not the most flattering picture of him. His one loss was a stoppage for that WBC.
No shame in that. No, listen, no shame in that loss to Eggington. He's a crowd favourite, Singleton. We used to have him on Box Nation a few years ago, and that was a good crowd. And you talk about a picture that might be the best one available, and I mean that nicely.
He's been busted up, basically. That's what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
I didn't mean any derogatory remarks about his looks.
It's not a popularity contest. It's not a contest. It's not a contest to find the next male model in boxing.
But normally, contest. Though, normally those picks, they pick a nice one. Don't they? They haven't picked a particularly, flattering one.
Not Shane and his boys. Don't worry, they'll pick that one. Listen. It'd be a good fight this for a while. I think it's the sort of closest fight. You've got a fancy Singleton, in the sense that Anwar has periods where he drifts. Not just in the fight, but away from the fight. I fancy. Well, is it 10 or 12 this one, Lee?
It's 12.
12. Okay. I mean, yeah, that's interesting because, listen, my gut feeling for this one is that Singleton gets to him and gets to him quite, in the second half of the fight.
Let's move on to Anthony Million Dollar Crawler, shall we? Is even money to beat Ismael Barroso, who's a favourite here. At 4-5. The draw is 22 to him. We've got plenty of markets on this fight as well. Crawler, of course, 30 wins, 12 by stoppage. He's lost 4 times himself. He's got an unbelievable story that we've all kind of been a part of, haven't we, over the last few years. The most liked man in boxing, I think, this guy. You look at his record recently, and those 3 draws have all come since 2013. He had the draw against Derry Matthews. He went on a little mini winning run against Gavin Reese, Stephen Foster, John Murray. He drew against Gamaliel Diaz, then beat Gyorgy Mizai, then drew against Darlis Perez, then beat him. It's not an easy road that he's trodden by any stretch of the imagination. What about his opponent, Obunzi? Because we know a lot about Crawler. This guy's out of Venezuela. We know the cliche is that the South Americans are always tough. Not expecting him to be anything else. 19-0 with 2 draws himself. And this is for the WBA world lightweight title as well, of course.
Which is because he's a mandatory because he won the interim.
He beat Kevin Mitchell, didn't he? But he beat
by Kevin's own words. Kevin had nothing left. You know, he told me after the fight, he had nothing left. There was nothing in the punch. He had no resistance. So perhaps Barroso's victory over Mitchell flattered to deceive. Perhaps he's not quite that good. There wasn't a peak, Kevin Mitchell, by several years and several fights. Barroso, you know, even though he's mostly stoppages in his wins and then there's just that one draw, if I'm not mistaken, forget that. The bottom line is, it's not littered with names. You're not looking at that and going, oh, he beat him. The best big name on there is Mitchell. And as I say, I'm convinced that wasn't Kevin Mitchell knew that night. From the start, he probably knew 6 weeks out in training camp that he didn't have it left anymore, that he should have retired after the Linares loss when he was really backed up, smashed up. You remember, great fight, gave it his all. That was Kevin's last little bit. So I think going to Barroso, he didn't have a lot left. I think he made Barroso a lot better than he possibly is. And I fancy Crawler big, to be honest with you. I fancy Anthony Crawler really big for this one.
Right.
I think he's a better fighter. And, I mean, I think the assault, you know, when he was, his career was over, then the comeback, the two fights with Perez, the draw, and then the win to capture the title.
And I think most people thought he won that, didn't they?
Absolutely. So, you know, I think it's two wins, but hey-ho, you still get a lot of rounds and you can't argue or complain, especially when you're coming back from a broken ankle and a fractured skull. I have a feeling that I'm convinced Crawler wins. And I was thinking Crawler might win on points, but I've now got the feeling he might end up doing it late.
Right, okay.
Which must be some nice money on Crawler late, last four rounds.
It is indeed, Buncey. Well, he's even money to win the fight. He's 11-2 to stop Barroso. If you go 10, 11, 12, so last three I can give you, 16-1.
Nice.
Yeah. Crawler to win on points is 7-4.
Yeah, I'm fancying Crawler in the last three or four rounds.
Mm. I must admit, the amount of draws between on these two boxers' respective records, I did have a cheeky look at that 22-1. I think it's always worth having a quid. Whatever bet you have on the boxing, it's always worth having a cheeky quid or whatever your lowest denomination of your staking is on the 22-1.
And also, Joe Gallagher, the trainer's luck has to change.
Yes.
No, it has to change. You know, he's had world title defeats with Paul Smith, a couple, Scott Quigg, Stephen Smith the other week in New York. He needs some luck. You know, Joe's on a run at the moment. He was on a run once of, you know, dozens and dozens, and I think it was like 80 odd fights without defeat. And he's always been on a bit of a run, and he's in a bit of a slump. And Crawler's a smart fighter, and Joe's a smart coach. I think they'll take a step back and they'll look at this fight. They'll look at ways to win this fight, actually win this fight, as opposed to just competing in this fight or taking stupid risks. I think the two of them will hopefully come up with something, because against Quigg, Quigg against Frampton wasn't a great night for coach or fighter. Let's not get that wrong. That's the brutal truth. Mm-hmm. And I know it wasn't a great night because I wrote it and I haven't had an email or text reply from Joe since. But hey-ho, that comes with the territory. You need to grow. We all need to grow thick skins in this business. So let's hope this is a bit of a Joe Gallagher comeback tonight. And I think Crawler's the intelligent man that can put it into place. In worse ways, he gets a win with Paul Smith at a 100.
Let's move to Hamburg, shall we? The Barclaycard Arena, where Kubrat Pulev is the opponent for Big Del Boy, Derek Chisora. This is for the vacant European heavyweight title. Del Boy's got a 25-5 record, two stoppages in his losses, and he's stopped 17 of his opponents. Of course, we know full well that those losses have all been against quality opposition. Tyson Fury twice, of course. Some hotly contested losses as well in that run, including, you know, the one over
Hellenius.
Lost to David Hay, of course, lost to Vitaly Klitschko, but gave Vitaly Klitschko a great fight. His opponent, Kubrat Pulev, is 22-1 record. He's been stopped once himself, and that was against Vladimir Klitschko. So again, this guy's operating at a decent level here, the Bulgarian.
Yeah.
And it should be a cracking fight, Buncey. So you've got Pulev priced up as the favourite here at 2-7. Derek Chisora 13-5. The draw 25-1. We've got grouped round betting, we've got round betting, we've got method of result. So we can pick out a bet here.
Well, listen, this is a really interesting fight, I'll be absolutely honest here, because Derek seems to have rediscovered something that he lost somewhere in about 2014. He just lost his mojo, for want of a better expression, you know, when he got stopped on his feet against Tyson Fury, which was a really poor display at the end of a really bad year. He switched promoters, changed up his lifestyle, I think is the word, changed his training team, changed everything. And of course, Pulev was really fancied, not fancied, that's the wrong word, but really thought, you know, there was a good chance when he went in with Klitschko that he'd have a, you know, you'd have a good go. And he did have a good go. He had the right idea. Yeah. In fact, he took it to Klitschko and he made Klitschko do what some people forget Klitschko can do, and that is stand and fight. So Klitschko stand and fought, and it was a brilliant performance. And on paper, it's one of Klitschko's best fights, you want to know the honest truth, one of his best world title wins. And Pulev still got plenty left. I think he'll have too much for Del Boy. But there again, what if Del Boy has really rediscovered his mojo, shifted his priorities, moved a bit of weight around? The Hellenius Chisora.
Oh, God, he was great that night, wasn't he?
I'm telling you, the Vitaly Klitschko Chisora, it's only 4 years ago, Lee. And in heavyweight terms, that's nothing. You know, I'm not being funny. That's not in heavyweight terms. That is zero. Yeah. What if? You know, and listen, I love a what if. I do. I'm a big fan of the old what if. So what if there's just a chance that Del's got plenty left and that Pulev has perhaps not 100% recovered from the Vlad fight? I don't think that's the case. I think Pulev's got enough left. And I think it's going to be a hard fight. I think it'll be a distance fight. And I think Pulev wins on points.
You got to also
good fight. It's a good fight. Yeah. Can everybody fight this?
I'm looking forward to seeing Chisora. You look at his... I mean, since he lost to Fury, he's won all five of his fights. But I was just totting up there when you were chatting. 42 defeats for his opponents in those five fighters. All, you know, between them, 42 defeats. I think out of 71 fights. So, you know, he's been getting himself back into good nick. But the thing you'd say about Chisora, as much as kind of I like him, and I know lots of people like his approach, is that whenever he steps up to world level, he comes out. Maybe Hellenius is a bit of a, you know, that's debatable, but every other time he's been found wanting, hasn't he? So we shall see. Let's finish it all off then, Buncey, with the big one over in Vegas at the T-Mobile Arena. This is Saul Alvarez versus Amir Khan. El Canelo is 2-7, same price as Pulev. Amir Khan's 11-4. The draw is 22-1 here. Anyone who doesn't know much about Saul Alvarez, probably living under a rock. He's kind of the new king of pay-per-view, really, because he's got such a huge Mexican following. This is his 49th fight, and he's still only 25 years old. Staggering. And you look at the list of opponents, Buncey, for Alvarez. It's like a who's who, isn't it? That loss to Mayweather, you know, it was a majority decision as well, wasn't it? You know, so he's
he did lose. One judge scored it.
Yeah, definitely lost it. But you know, he's done very little wrong in his career. He's a solid, fully fledged middleweight. He's obviously fought a light middleweight, but he looks more of a middleweight. Amir Khan, you know, he's a boxer who we've grown up watching, and we've seen the full story there, haven't we, from the Olympic days right through to, you know, the Bradis Prescott loss, and then what he's done since. He's become a name. Has he got any chance here against Saul Alvarez? He just looks much more solid, Alvarez.
Yeah, well, listen, you know, Alvarez is the favourite. I'm surprised the odds are not a little bit shorter.
Well, interestingly, Bunton, you'd be interested to know this. One of our colleagues here at William Hill, he's just been away on holiday, just back from Vegas, big boxing fan. In Vegas, Alvarez is 1-6. He's 2-7 here, which tells you a story.
Okay, well, there you go. It's quite interesting. Well, it's a very interesting fight because it's one of those fights when most people you speak to, 9.5 out of 10 people, which of course is impossible, but you get the idea, tell you that Alvarez will win. But all 10 tell you that Khan can win, and this is how he can win. Now, it doesn't generally work that way. So when we're going into Mayweather and Pacquiao, Lee, 7 people thought Mayweather would win, 3 people thought Pacquiao would win, and they were so strong in their views. The 7 who thought Mayweather win could not see a way Pacquiao could win. And the 3 that thought Pacquiao could win did not see a way that Mayweather could win. Even today, talking about Barossa and Crawler, I can make a case for both. I'm convinced Crawler wins, but he could get it on the chin and we might be reading Barossa wrong. Now, you know, you can do it. But generally, people have one view or the other. Okay, now with Khan, from Bernard Hopkins to George Foreman to the man on the street, the bus driver, everyone seems to think, well, if he keeps moving, he's fast enough, he's agile enough, he's fast enough. Okay, he is all of those. The key is he smart enough? And that's what Virgil Hunter's been working on since 2013. We know Khan's brave. We know Khan can bang. We know Khan's got a good engine. We know all of those things. What we need to do is rediscover the brain that we've seen in short bursts over the last 12 or so years. He showed that brain at the Olympics when he was a boy of 17. He showed it against Kotelnik to win the title. He showed it against Medina to not get knocked out. He showed it against Peterson, and then the judges deprived him. We've seen that brain. We need to see that brain coupled with all the stuff that Virgil's been teaching him. A, don't run over your front foot, which is how he got knocked out by both Garcia and also by Prescott. And B, don't throw four punches, because if the guy's there for the full shot, then it's pointless throwing the third shot. Throw one, throw one, two, throw one, throw one, two, and move. If he can do this for 12 rounds, okay, then he pulls off an incredible victory. Now, one of the reasons why I'm increasingly starting to think it might happen is looking at Sol's eyes, Canelo's eyes, listening to the people around him, and they're going to deny it because they would do, okay? Because boxing's all about denying. You say a fight's a mismatch, hit 1 to 100. They say, no, it's not. It's still a fight. It's rubbish. Everyone in boxing lies or denies. That's what we do. It's the nature of the beast. And I mean that. If the lips are moving, generally, they're fibbing or stretching a point. And there's nothing wrong with that, as long as everyone knows you're stretching a point. As long as everyone's in on the swindle, so to speak, to use a rock and roll term. So here's the thing. I'm convinced that the Alvarez team think this is a walkover.
Right.
So every time they tell me, without prompting, oh, we're treating this seriously, we're not underestimating Khan, Khan can do this, Khan can do that, I think they're sniggering inside. I think that gives Khan the first four or five rounds.
Right.
And then it gets interesting. Mm. Can Alvarez track him down, change his tactics? Yes, he can. Can Alvarez fight his way back from four or five rounds down and push a tiring Khan? Yes, he can. Mm. Here's the thing. Can Carl, when he's finished four or five rounds up, when a lot of the power's already gone from Alvarez's punches, can Carl survive the next six or seven rounds? Yes, he can. This is a very interesting fight. I understand why Alvarez is a big favourite. And my tip is Alvarez on point. That's my tip. Okay? Mm-hmm. But I'm not at all surprised if Carl nicks it on point. Mm-hmm. Equally, I'm not surprised if it all goes belly up and Alvarez gets to him early,
yeah,
really early, like four rounds.
It's interesting. The perception of Khan's interesting still, Bunsy, isn't it, here? Because in the UK, 31-3 his record. He's been stopped twice. But you look, I mean, I was talking about Alvarez's record being like a who's who. So is Khan's. You know, look at, since he, all right, you know, the Peterson and Garcia losses, following from that, Carlos Molina, Julio Diaz, Luis Collazo, Devin Alexander, Chris Algieri, you know, all these fights in the States, in big arenas, barring the Sheffield Arena one against Julio Diaz, of course, which is a unanimous decision.
Let's go back a bit further.
Yeah, absolutely.
Malignaggi, Medina.
The Medina fight was
Peterson, Garcia, Molina. I mean, wow. You're looking there. I mean, I felt like I was just thinking about this last night because we showed a clip on Box Nation of why we like Khan.
Yeah.
You see all these big fights.
Yeah.
And you think, well, who is that in Britain at the moment of the active fighters? The world champions, the 12 of them. No one's got 7 or 8 or 9 names on his record.
No one can do what. No one can get the fights that he gets, can they?
But you know, if I put the show reel together for McDonald, for Haskins, for Frampton, for DeGaal, for Fury, for Kell Brook, for Liam Smith, for Flanagan, for Crawley. If I put their show reels together, okay, they've all got one fighter on there or two, but none of them have got 7 or 8.
No.
And he has got worse ways. Okay, Kotelnik. Okay, you know, he was still a world champion. So
yep.
Kotelnik, Malignaggi, Medina, Judah, Peterson, Garcia, Molina. Even if you allow Diaz, a bit of a veteran, Collazo and Alexander and Algieri. You're looking at 8 or 9 or 10 big fights.
Yeah, this is the guy who was in the mix. Yeah, a guy who's in the mix for fighting Mayweather or Pacquiao, you know, when they were still
absolutely
fighting. It's amazing,
yeah,
really, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, if Carl Froch was still around, Carl Froch would have a better looking record. But people forget these big names on here. And listen, and I love Kell Brook, but take Sean Porter out of the equation, that's it. And if you look at, say, James DeGale, take Groves, where he lost, you've got Derrell and you've got Butte. He's in second place.
Yeah.
Frampton, Kiko Martinez and Quigg. Forget Haskins, forget McDonald. Notice, and I mean that nicely, they've got each other on their show reels.
Yeah.
This kid is the man.
Mm, yeah. It'd be fantastic if he could do it. The odds for Alvarez by decision are 9-2, Bunsey. That's a, I mean, basically the bookies think that he's going to stop Khan. He's 8-15. Yeah. He's 8-15 to stop him. I mean, if you could make a good argument, as Bunsey has just done, of Alvarez to win by decision, that 9-2 is, I mean, he's 2-7 to win the fight, 9-2 to win it on points. I guess they think if he connects, then Khan's out of there. But Khan's a lot stronger than he used to be, isn't he? I know he went against Garcia, but that's a while ago now when that Garcia fight.
Listen, and against Garcia, we watched it last night. He's calling Garcia in.
And that's like, I mean, welter, wasn't it? This is middle. Yeah. You know, he's bigger now. He's stronger now. He says he's stronger now. So,
exactly.
Yeah, it's going to be a fascinating fight. I can't wait to watch it.
You
can.
Night.
It's on Box Nation, of course. I think you're on air from much earlier in the fight, about 1:30.
We're on air from 1:30. We've got a couple of special shows on a Saturday night.
I think I'm right in saying there's a load of free to air stuff before that as well. Or, you know, maybe the 24/7 and some of the build up stuff, which has been good.
There's a whole night from about 5:00. On Saturday through to 1:30 when we go live.
Do you know what? I love the fact. I know I'm not just saying it because you're here, Bunsey, and you're on Box Nation, but it's a great idea. Show the free stuff. Get your appetite wet, and then you can go and, you know, pay your 12 quid a month, whatever it is, to watch it. So and then you decent. And again, and you know, we're not too far away from Fury Klitschko either, are we? So
you get next week's fight up in, for your 1 month. You get next week's fight up in Bolton, Jack Catterall. Inside the top 10 of all the world sanctioning bodies. Plus, you get Povetkin and Wilder on May 21st.
Of course, yes.
Which, by anybody's reckoning, is an incredibly interesting fight. Then you get Liam Smith defending his world title on June the 4th. Bingo!
Sales pitch is done. Listen to this, Bunsey. No, it's fine. No problem. I just want to throw one more bet at you before I let you go. This is a special enhanced odds. Singleton to win. Pulev to win. Crawler to win. 3-1.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Seems all right, doesn't it?
That's all right, that is, mate.
It should be 13-5, but they've enhanced it a little bit to 3-1.
That's nice. Yeah. We love an enhanced bet, Sam.
A little bit on that. That wins. You can pay for your Box Nation subscription.
Hey.
Easy. Thanks very much, Bunsey. Good talking to you, and we'll catch up soon.
Lee, thank you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.